Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Your Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's going on, man?
Hey, and Erica Ramirez.
Hi there.
And we have a sort of special edition of the podcast. I don't want to say incredibly special, but we're gonna focus on
special,
our picks
say, yeah.
For Song of the Summer, but not so much like the ones that we all know and have heard a million times already, like Wiz Khalifa.
There's a twist.
It's going to be sort of under the radar picks. That being said, we are talking about some pretty big names, just some songs that, you know, haven't been like bandied about as the 2015 Song of the Summer contender yet. We've got a great poll up on the site if you want to vote for what the Song of the Summer is.
If you're a One Direction fan who hasn't seen it yet.
Spoiler alert, your vote will not affect what becomes the Song of the Summer.
Don't tell them that.
But it's a good way of just saying, hey, I like One Direction, and I'm going to vote for a One Direction song a million times.
Who are you saying hey to in there? When you say, hey, I'm a One Direction fan, just in general?
That's just,
to the world?
That's
hey,
what
world?
I'm saying, so, hey, world. Anyways, nice. So Song of the Summer. Let's start with one of Jason's picks. If you can you remember the name of it?
Yeah, it's been a long, I literally, before we started recording, I was like, what's the name of this song again? It's been a long day. I've been all over today, but I'm here. Hey, guys. What are we starting with? I have two songs.
Let's start with Elephant, Love Me Batter. Elephant.
Elephant. Yeah, one of my favorite under the radar pop artists. I loved Elephant's song with Moo last year, One More. I think we talked about it on this show.
We talked about it in the podcast. Really good song.
I loved that song. And this song, I'm going to steal a line from Pop Justice, who reviewed this song and said that this is what everyone wants Rihanna to sound like in the summer of 2015.
Ooh.
I think
with the no.
Erica,
who was the writer? Erica gave me their Twitter handle.
Disgusted face as if she's standing for American Oxygen. I am not. I am standing for this song.
I'm not standing for a Mexican Oxygen.
Hey, it's okay.
Sorry, go ahead. Just keep eating my Skittles. Go for it.
This is such a fun. I use the word fun.
Why would they say that? Like, what is it about
you,
the song?
I've never seen you look more horrified. And that,
because, like,
it's like, a very understandable thing.
You know, I'll be honest. I heard this song and I just forgot how it sounds like. So,
wow.
I think I have like an idea.
Not even firing shots. You're like shooting missiles today.
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to think about everything I just said. Go ahead.
Wow. So, Erica, I take it you don't like this song.
Well, I forgot about it, so it's clearly forgettable.
Wow. That is an apt description for something you forgot about, that it is forgettable.
So I can't be wrong. No, I don't. But okay. I honestly don't remember what it sounds like, and I did listen to it the whole way.
Wow.
But I think what annoys me of that comment is because I like what Rihanna's been doing. I'm not a fan of American Oxygen. I'm actually a fan of a snippet that she put on Instagram of a song called Higher. And it just sounds very, I like the acoustic feel to what Rihanna's going for. And like this like pop R&B thing that she just keeps getting better at. So, but I don't want her to go too like, I don't know, too pop, I guess. And I feel like this song was, from what I remember, was like very popish and super like.
From what I remember,
bright.
From an hour ago.
An hour ago.
Yeah, it's a poppy song, but I see why they would make a Rihanna comparison, because
boom.
Like clearly Elephant is like in like she's like does a like fake like reggae voice basically while yeah. singing. You can, I mean, I don't want to like say it's white girl reggae, but she's definitely reggae influenced.
Just said it here on the podcast.
In the way she's singing. So I can see why someone like might grab like the Island Rihanna thing. That honestly, yeah, the whole like her like fake patois did kind of bug me, but I like the song and I like in the background there's like these like ringing, like really clean guitars, almost U2 like.
Yeah.
Which is weird for like a pop song like this.
I hate that you know about music because then you can't really hate. You gotta find reason, Joe.
I mean
I here's the reason why I agree with that Pop Justice comment about the Rihanna comparison. I think that sonically it's very much what I want to hear from Rihanna. It kind of reminds me of the Talk That Talk album in terms of the grinding electronics. Like you said, the very interesting vocal, the vocal cadence. And I don't even think of it as like a fake reggae thing, but I just think of it more as like the attitude that she brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's been there for Elephant for a while, but I think she's finally getting the songs to really match it. And yeah, I just think that this is the sort of, I mean, you said before the show to come with like summer jams. This is like a summer jam to me. This is a big song. Like this is, it just feels huge, where One More felt like a very, Erica's giving me so much side eye, it's crazy. Where One More felt very intimate, even though it was Elephant and another artist collaborating, it felt very small, but in a good way. It felt like a very wintry song.
Mm-hmm.
This feels warm and expansive and totally summery to me.
Am I also crazy to kind of get it? Okay, she doesn't sing like Lorde at all, but for some reason this is like sort of reminding me of Lorde.
Yeah, it's a little bit like there's a little team in there for sure.
Yeah,
it's definitely like an anthem. Like
I can see like people in that sense like picking up and kind of glomming on to this.
Yeah,
whereas like I like One More better. I really like that
yeah
song.
I would say I like One More better than this song too,
but I think this is maybe like an easier entry point.
Yeah,
or there's just like more to get excited about, because you're right, it is like a summery, warm, like bouncy, it's a jam.
Yeah, Erica, not a fan. Wow. How is your glass of Haterade tasting today?
So good.
So good? Refreshing?
Continue.
All right. Well, yeah. So let's put down the Haterade for a second. Give a listen to Elephant, Love Me Battered. No one. Hey. No one loves me battered. That was the extremely controversial. I was not expecting that song from Elephant.
What's so funny is that I would expect you to be like to like a metal song that we pick on the show, or but like this is a very like fun dance pop song.
I think it was a Rihanna comment. I think that set it off for me.
Anyway, what's next, Joe?
Next up, I'm going to go with one of my picks. So we've got a little man called Nick Jonas and Sage the Gemini. The song is Good Thing.
Yeah.
This song is just, I mean, I cannot believe if someone told me a year and a half ago that like not only would Nick Jonas have a successful solo career, but that would be like actually really quality and like genuinely sexy music, I would not believe that person. I would be like, yeah, sure, great. And then what, Kevin Jonas is going to be hosting the Oscars next year? Like, no. But but apparently Nick Jonas, like, is a legitimate musical talent. I mean, I guess I don't know how much of that is, you know, the behind-the-board stuff.
No, he's like a talented dude.
But he seems...
Everything I've heard about him is just in terms of, like, musical prowess. Like, his whole, like, even, like, the Nick Jonas and the Administration album, which wasn't very good, like... He did all this stuff, so I can personally vouch for Nick Jonas being like a legit musician.
Just side tangent. So Nick Jonas had the Administration. Selena Gomez had the Scene.
Yep.
I want a collaborative album, the Administration and the scene. Now that they've been
the
left in the dust.
The title is called Where Are We?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Spiders from Mars did make an album without Ziggy Stardust or
That's
David
true.
Bowie, and that was, you know, sad. No one was happy with that, but. but let's move forward. So this Nick Jonas and Sage the Gemini song, Good Thing, it's called Good Thing, but it's not exact. It's not really an upbeat track. It's kind of like a sad, slow burner, almost like a dance poppy torch song. It has a really kind of like awesome muffled synthy bass line. It just kind of has this mesmerizing sound. Like there's not a clear hook. Like you don't listen to it once and then it's in your head. But just listening to it the whole time is very, like, it's hard not to hear it and just be like captivated by it. And I could see this being kind of more of a late night driving sort of summer classic, 2015 summer classic.
Yeah. No, yeah, I like the song a lot. And it's interesting because I feel like this is exactly the kind of song Sage the Gemini needs, where his first album had hits, like legitimate hits with Red Nose and Gas Pedal. But
Gas Pedal's a great song.
It is a great song. I feel like if you're not a big rap fan, you don't know who Sage the Gemini is. Would you agree with that, Erica?
Yes.
So this is the kind of play that makes so much sense for him, where he's trying to cross over and get people to actually pay attention to him that aren't big hip-hop heads. And I think it sounds great.
And it's crazy because those songs, the hits that he had, like Gas Pedal, aren't really like your typical rap song that you could think of. Like some of them were like dancey. So I'm glad that he's kind of moving in this direction, at least to get that attention that he deserves. But I joke with Jason all the time that I consider Nick Jonas the savior of R&B.
Sorry, D'Angelo.
I mean, more jokingly, I don't want anyone to like hate as much as I hate.
Yeah, before you crucify her on Twitter.
Right.
She's
no, I'm
smiling.
Joking. But I do like this, I don't know if it's transition because I haven't like followed him when he was with his brothers. Like, I don't know if like
this is not the
this
music
R&B. No, but like, I don't know if this is like the persona that he's kind of, if it's as a surprise as it is for me, for him to like be this like somewhat like R&B rap fan and actually like perform at times as if he is. Like, he covers all these R&B songs, and Kanye's like Only One, which is somewhat of an R&B song. And
yeah, he did No Type by Ray Schremer.
And he has like
awesome.
Tinashe on his album or on the remix to Jealous. Like, it's as if he has, and he has a very, very soulful like song, and the album is pretty much like an R&B pop album. So I mean, I think it's very interesting for him to be like transitioning over kind of like seamlessly, as if that's just what he's been wanting to do or sound like. So I think that's just like another notch to that, is this Sage the Gemini collaboration.
That's a great point. And I think that it is about who he's aligning himself with as well as his own work. I mean, I remember when Justin Timberlake put out his first solo album, and you went from thinking, oh, it's the dude from NSYNC, to, oh, this dude has the Clips and the Neptunes on
his
single.
Exactly. He's like Nelly and Pharrell is producing. Like, it's so it's almost as if like they already had that in them. Like, that's if they wanted what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Is what I like. It doesn't seem too like out of the ordinary for him.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It's a great song. It's called Good Thing, Nick Jonas and Sage the Gemini. I know you know. Latest song from Nick Jonas's Abs, and let's talk about what we haven't done an Erica one, so let's move into Erica pick. We've got your song of the summer from under the radar fellow Kendrick Lamar.
I
think I have the most popular artist on this list.
I hate this song.
Do you really?
Wait, okay, well, first off, we're talking about
song.
Wow.
And I can't even remember it. What is the?
Oh,
is
yeah,
this
that's
guy?
What you're doing. I thought you were being serious. I really wanted to fight you for this. Never mind.
So Erica's pick for Kendrick's, and this is not a single, right? This is just an album track.
It may be a single.
May
I mean,
become
a single.
He apparently
shot a video for it this past weekend.
Was it for
this?
I saw you shooting a new video. I didn't know. If
yeah,
it was
it's
for
All Right. So I believe it will be a single. It should be. I've heard this a lot in like barbecues and like parties recently, and people get super hyped, and I just really like the production of it and how it's led by the production. The fact that you also have like a message in the song makes it like a little bit better, and it's just, I don't know, it's just a really feel good song. It's still very chill also, which is what I like, but it could really get people like hyped. So, and I mean, also Kendrick's album is really not difficult to digest, but it takes a minute to digest. So I think I like that he's taking advantage of the songs that still have a message, but like can actually make people like move, taking advantage of that and like going with it. So then there's like a little bit for everyone pretty much. And I guess including the singles and the album as a whole. And I think All Right does that. It's like a teaser of what the album is in a different type of sound.
Yeah, so. I think that one of the things that is underrated about Kendrick is his ability to go full on positive. And you just don't see a lot of rappers, especially like quote unquote, like, I won't even say, but like, you don't see a lot of rappers go that way successfully and stay without like corniness. Like, mm-hmm. if you think about songs like I know people don't like I, but I love that song. Real from Good Kid, Mad City, and now this song. I mean, he's actually saying things without having to resort to any kind of negativity, violence, graphic depictions of his own life, and that's all present on his albums. But just to be able to do this and shed light on this kind of overcoming feeling is really moving.
Yeah. What do you think, Joe?
I mean, I like the album, but I agree with you. It's one of those things, I think, for a lot of people, it's hard to want to listen to start to finish a bunch of times. And I appreciate just that this song, All Right, is it's more than all right. First of all, oh my God, I want to edit that out.
We're keeping that for sure.
Yeah, so anyways, the song, it's kind of, poppy's the wrong word, but it is memorable, but it also combines with, like, some fairly, like, complicated, like, jazzy intro. Like, right. It's not exactly, like, light. And, you know, his flow is really fast. There's that great, like, moment where he suddenly stops and then kicks back in. Like, it's not like, oh, this is the pop song on the album. Like, as much as I love, like, Swimming Pools, like, that did kind of stand out as, like, hey, this is the single. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is a melodic, you know, easily digestible song that is still, like, fairly complex. Like, there's, a hefty amount of jazz in there and some complicated rapping, so.
I was going to read a lyric. Like, imagine being, like, in a, like, around folks, like, drinking, having a good time, and having people scream out, I'm effed up, plumby, you're effed up, but if God's got us, we're going to be all right. Like, it's, like, the fact that Kendrick has people saying that, like, in 2015 at a barbecue and everyone's pretty drunk and still feeling good, like, that's, you got to give, like, the kid some credit.
He does great things with Pharrell, too, and it's funny because you'd think that he does such a good job of pulling so many people into his world, yet you wouldn't really think of him being able to have like a party song with Pharrell, right. But he does it so well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, well, should we give it a listen?
Hey, why not?
Let's do it. So
I can't even remember this song, so let's okay, let's put it back.
You can't do that.
All right, it's Kendrick Lamar, All Right. Cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in a twilight. We're pretty Benjamin is the highlight. Now tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a fucking gangsta in silence for the record. All right, that was Kendrick's All Right from To Pimp a Butterfly. Let us hop over to another Jason pick. We've got a song from a newcomer, Sam Bruno. The song is called Search Party.
Sam Bruno.
And all I know, I mean, I like the, listen, I love this song before I toss it over to you.
Erica, how do you feel about
Ready
this?
Ready to Doom.
Oh, you like this one?
I really like it's a girl, right? That sings this? Okay. Yes. I don't want to get it mixed up, but I really like her voice on the song.
Yeah.
It's
interesting because this song, Search Party, is the first song from the soundtrack to Paper Towns, the upcoming film. John Green, who did The Fault in Our Stars, is another adaptation of a John Green book. And they're kind of positioning this as almost like the Boom Clap of 2015.
I was going to say, it reminds me of Boom Clap.
Yeah.
Even before I knew that.
And obviously, Charlie XCX wasn't an unknown when Boom Clap came out, but Sam Bruno is a totally unknown. This is the debut single. And it's just so full of character and full of life. And it's just about getting lost and not being able to be found by anyone or anything. And it's just so beautiful. And it's just so, and again, going back to like the songs of the summer, like I could really see the song succeeding in like a meaningful way. I like with the Elephant song, I don't think that's going to be like a hit. I think this song really could be like a minor hit.
I could see top 10.
Yeah.
Like just kind of scraping the
top
10.
Just kind of getting in there. And apparently this Paper Town soundtrack, they haven't released the track list yet, but apparently it's going to be like, you know, like a lot of soundtracks in 2015 is going to be a big deal. With some really interesting artists on it, but to have this be the first single, I think it's a brilliant choice. And yeah, I've been listening to this song. I discovered this song probably last week at some point. I listened to it like all Memorial Day weekend, so I'm glad you guys enjoy as well.
Yeah, it was just, it's so like, I just you know, put it on today after you sent it over, and it's just very poppy, very fun. But also, like Boom Clap, like it's a kind of substantive pop. It's not just like a frothy thing that once it's over, you kind of forget about.
Yeah.
It makes me want to return to it. And I also just, you know, I like the echoiness of like the production. There's like, you know, piano and anything with like a clapping beat sort of thing.
Yeah.
A boom clap beat, you know.
It's
fun.
Just, I love like.
It's a good amount of pop. Like it's. Just like enough, and it's still like very fun.
Right, it doesn't bludgeon you over the head.
Yeah, and what I like about it is that it's so meticulously made. It's made by someone who's very mature and has a very polished sound, but it still sounds kind of like teenagerhood. Like it sounds like kids running around and not being wanting to be caught. So it's it really succeeds to me.
I like that little storyline you gave it.
You know.
So what are these kids doing that they don't want to get caught? Do they just like knock off a 7-Eleven?
They're in. I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch Paper Towns when it comes out this summer.
Probably won't. But
did you see Fault in Our Stars?
No. I mean, I don't mean to say it that way.
Now
but,
keep recoiled. You guys keep recoiling.
No, I'm not gonna
from me today. Did you see Fault in Our Stars?
No.
You're like the emo queen. You
yeah,
didn't
but, like,
see Fault in Our Stars?
It just seems like it would be too like borderline cheesy.
It was. I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome.
And I have heard good things about it.
It was awesome. And the thing is, you have to see a movie after it, so you don't like. You don't like.
See,
what
you
we
can't,
did.
That's not what you should do.
No,
why?
But
it was it too
but
much?
It was like a Friday night. We went to see Fault in Our Stars, like crying all over the place, and then we were like, we can't like. Go home and like be sad. Let's see Lucy. So we saw Lucy with Scarlett Johansson.
You keep like pushing for Lucy. Like I feel like you,
really,
yeah.
I don't know
like
if I've ever mentioned Lucy.
No, I've overheard conversations where like people would say that they're not fans, and you're like, it's so great.
Adele
yeah,
was apparently a big fan of
Sorry?
Lucy. Adele was a big
what?
Fan.
Oh, I
but
Adele.
But I think it's just you and Adele because it has like a 31 on Rotten.
Oh, that movie's awesome. I love that movie.
Anyways.
You guys need like a movie podcast.
Yeah, all right, that's true.
Should we listen to this, or do we have anything to add about Sam Bruno? What else do we know about her? So she's
very mysterious as of right now.
Ooh, is she like The Weeknd when he first came out?
Yeah, a little shadowy press images. Ooh. No, that actually isn't true. But there isn't like a lot of biographical information. I've inquired. There isn't that much to know, but I'm sure we'll be finding out in the next couple weeks.
That's all right, cool. Let's listen to it. Sam Bruno, Search Party. Meet me out in Paris. I'll be on the elevator. Halfway up the Eiffel Tower. next up, want to highlight a guy who I've liked for a while, and he's got a new song from a new album coming out. It's Destroyer, real name Dan Behar.
Yeah.
And he has just been like quietly producing like these lovely like start to finish indie classics for like 10 years or something.
Yep.
And I don't know, every time a new one comes out, I'm like at some point he's got to slip, and you know, it doesn't happen. Like, or at
is
least
he
in,
or Adele? I feel like that's how I would talk about Adele.
No, but anyway, so Destroyer has a new song out called Dream Lover. His album, I can't think of the title of it, is coming out in August. But this is just like, it's a great like indie song if you kind of grew up listening to classic rock, I think. Because it's just got like a real like Springsteenian feel to it. I mean, the drums sound like Max Weinberg could be playing them from the E Street Band. The horn section sounds like Clarence Clemens, but his voice is like totally separate from that. Like, he has this kind of gentle, beguiling way of singing that almost sounds like he's just kind of like half-assing is the wrong phrase, but like he's only half invested in it. And he really does this nice trick. His last album was almost yacht rocky, but he has this nice trick of having music that's clearly influenced by classic rock, but it still feels vital and it feels like of its time, or like of current day. Whereas like a lot of times you'll listen to something like, you know, not to throw the great Dave Grohl under the bus, but like the last Foo Fighters album, very classic rock indebted, but you kind of listen to it and you're like, well, this isn't as good as all the other stuff he's aping, so why would I listen to this versus them? Whereas like this feels like a great song that is worth listening to on its own merits. Like, it doesn't make you want to listen to older things. It wants to make you like explore this further. So
yeah, I'm a big Destroyer guy as well. Joe, I don't think we've ever discussed
Destroyer.
I don't
think we have
discussed
Destroyer. Do you have a
favorite?
Should I leave now?
No, I know you're a big Destroyer fan too. What's your favorite Destroyer album?
I think Kaput might be my favorite.
One.
The last one.
It's so good.
But I really like Destroyer's Rubies too.
Yeah. Wow, we're really on the same page. Yeah,
we're vibing with this.
This is great. Erica's embarrassed for us.
No, I'm not embarrassed. I mean, proud. I'm not familiar, but yes.
He is just like, whenever I think of like the word troubadour, I think of the Dan Behar.
Yeah.
And this album, Poison Season, is the title of the album. It's
Thank
coming
you.
Out later this month. Or later this summer, sorry.
I think,
yeah,
August.
Month. But it's, I mean, this is a great preview of it. And I think that, like, you're totally right when you say that he doesn't make the same project twice in a row. And I just think that some of them, I kind of disagree with you that some of them aren't as strong as other ones. But I think that this sounds like it could be among his best, just based on this.
Yeah. But yeah, so the reason I picked it for Song of the Summer-ish is I feel it has kind of that just nice, again, like I said with Nick Jonas, either like a late night driving situation or like a running, like working out type thing. Like, this is just, you know, rock is in a weird place in 2015. And I feel like for me, like, this is the kind of like summertime rock I would like to listen to, mm-hmm. and that I, in fact, will be listening to.
Mm.
So,
Erica,
what do you think?
I, you know what? I listened to the song the whole way. I want to point that out since I don't usually.
Wow.
But I, you said something about Joe, how like his voice is kind of totally different from like the production. And I feel like that's also why I couldn't really get into it, because it's just, I don't even know what's a good word to say. It almost felt like separated, like the way he sings and like the actual, like how strong the production was. I mean, like, I don't know if that's his thing. I mean, like you said, it's very, like, low.
He's got
like
that sandpaper voice. Which,
yeah. So, like,
takes a little bit to get used to.
I liked both individually, but, like, I don't know if I could get with it because of how, like, different it is or how, like, distant they it sounds. But, yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, where it's, like, it took me a while to get into Destroyer when I started listening. It's funny because I actually listened to the New Pornographers a lot more than I listened to Destroyer, and that's how I kind of stumbled upon his stuff, when I was like, who's this guy singing on these New Pornographers albums that's not Nico Case or AC Newman? But, you know, obviously he's great on his own.
Yeah, I have a weird thing, not to get off on another tangent, but like new pornographers are just too poppy for me. Like,
wow.
their sound is like so polished and so like immaculately constructed that I appreciate it, but I don't enjoy listening to it a ton.
That's fair.
Mm. But I love solo AC Newman and Nico Case and Destroyer. So it's kind of a weird.
That's a weird thing.
Situation. Yeah. I've not met a ton of other people who are in the same, who are like, you know, I don't really dig the new pornographers, but I like every solo project from the new pornographers.
Damn, man.
But, you know, like Twin Cinema is a great album. Like, I, you know, props to them.
Props to Twin Cinema.
I think the first one is probably my favorite.
Mass Romantic, yeah.
That's of theirs, yeah. Too. That's probably their best.
Well, but this is, now we're just.
I love it. Keep now going, now that I'm lost.
Indie broing out.
Just
over
indie
here.
Broing out. But we'll leave that to the Pitchfork folks.
Yeah.
And
best new podcast, more like it.
All right. That would give that joke a 4.2. But let's listen to it. We've got Destroyer, Dream Lover. I want it so light, gets in your eyes, grabs hold of us and turns us around. All the signs say you're in for surprise. All the signs are saying this way to town. All the signs are saying this way. Next and last, we are going to talk about a song, Jamie XX featuring Young Thug and Popcane. Yes.
We were joking.
We're laughing because, we should give a disclaimer. So if you are listening to this podcast every week, first off, thank you. You're awesome. I appreciate that. We talked about this last week, but we also wanted to include this on the special Song of the Summer episode, because as far as like kind of under the radar Song of the Summer goes, I think both Erica and myself and maybe Jason too think this is like a real contender.
It's just so like vibey and like
The vibes are anyway. So the song is called "There's Gonna Be Good Times." Mm-hmm. It's off of Jamie XX's like solo debut. He's the guy from the production guy from the XX, and Young Thug is on it, and Popcane is singing. So it's just, but yeah. Anyways,
yeah. I mean, we talked about it, of course, last episode, but it's just very vibey. Like I could definitely. It's also, I think, what we talked about this with the other songs. Like we could see it kind of grow into mm-hmm. becoming something bigger. I'm not sure how big though, because of also how vibey it is.
Right.
But I think it's something that people should kind of listen to, especially over the summer. And it's just, I don't know, it's just pretty. It's perfect for the summer. It made me like Young Thug even more, and probably for Jason, who's. Love for Young Thug is ever growing, but
yeah, I love him.
I really love the song, and I was a little late to it, like a week late, so in internet time that's like forever. So I feel like it's something that people need to listen to like ASAP in order to enjoy it, just because it's just the perfect season for it.
We talked about it last week. Like it's so fun hearing Young Thug on such a positive, sprightly little song like this after Barter Six, which I'm honestly not a big fan of. Barter Six, I don't know about you, we've never really discussed it, Erica, but
it's
a little too
haven't.
Dark and dour for me. I don't know, I like the song Constantly Hating, which is a song about Erica Ramirez on the Must Hear Music podcast, but I think that there's something to be said for Young Thug's energy and animation, and this song just totally captures it.
Yeah, I mean, like, going back to Young Thug's, like, energy, the songs that he released before Barter Six were, like, completely more fun.
Yeah.
And, like,
Black Portland album.
They just seemed, so and even, good. Like, the remixes with, like, Nicki on it, they just seemed more like his style, more, like, free-spirited and very light. So I think maybe that's why I like the song also so much, is because it goes back to that energy, that Young Thug energy that we kind of knew before the album. It's just, like... yawn but laugh
you
at
see
the
how,
same time?
How crazy my day is. I'm exhausted.
Joey's over this. I think
yeah, he's about to wrap it up. One thing I wanted to add about it is, since we talked about it last time, track down the song It Samples, which is this 70s acapella R&B group from Bed-Stuy called The Persuasions.
Yeah.
And the song, the original is a 1972 song called Good Times, and highly recommend checking that out on YouTube. I don't actually think it's on Spotify, but It's just, I mean, you can tell, you know, this, the a cappella song Good Times is like the foundation of this song. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really like beautiful, like lovely delivered, well delivered a cappella song. And you don't really hear that. You don't hear a lot of like R&B a cappella on record these days.
Right.
And this is from 1972. So this isn't changing that trend, but it's just kind of, it's a nice throwback. It's worth checking out the original.
Right.
For sure. But let's listen to it. Jamie XX featuring Young Thug and Pop Kane. There's going to be good times.
Good times. There's going to be some good times. Man, we used to pull up and let them fight at that hood time. Remember, I used to grab on that ass when it was about that wood time. It had a little bit walk up tripping. She get that much time. I don't waste time. I don't waste time. I don't have patience, baby. She going to get on top of the dick and she going to squish it like squish. Didn't go fast. She speed racing. We go wild off to bed.
That was Jamie XX. I mean, yeah, otherwise, I feel like a couple other things we didn't talk about. If we hadn't also just done Shamir, I might toss in Make a Scene or On the Regular into my song of this under, you know,
I love, under the radar. Call It Off.
Call It Off is great, too.
Yeah.
I'm so digging that album. I don't know. I mean, what else, you guys?
You know, a song that we talked about a couple weeks ago, that Lainey song, Someone mm-hmm. Else. Oh, that soft rock vibe. I love it. I love that song.
I don't remember.
I listened.
That
sorry?
Was the one that was like a group featuring members of Jars of Clay.
There
right?
is this song. There's this artist named Samuel
Smith. No, stop it. I do remember.
That's definitely a summer jam and I'm trying to think of what else because.
Do you guys think, and I said this on Twitter, and Jace responded to a conversation. Fetty Wap's My Way, if it's going to be as big as Trap Queen, a lot of people were like, yes, no, and if it was yes because of Drake's feature, and someone said something about how new artists usually don't have, or I don't know if it's new artists or rappers. New rappers don't usually have two hits at the same time on the Billboard chart. And I was just like, oh, yeah, maybe not. And JC responded, was just like, Iggy Azalea and Macklemore.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard to believe that they were as new as Fetty Wap. So I guess that's why I was just like a little surprised. But I don't know. I don't know if you, Joe, I don't know if you're familiar with Fetty Wap's My Way. I don't know.
I've heard it once.
Do you think it was, I don't know if it's as catchy.
I think it's great, but I think
Trap Queen.
I think expecting another Fetty Wap song to be as big as Trap Queen would be insane. I just think that maybe someday, but Trap Queen is like number two on the Hot 100. Like there's just not that many rap songs that get there, period. So
I think by the time it could get the momentum to be where Trap Queen is or close, there's going to be so much more music to compete with it that it might not make it. But I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it because I feel like Trap Queen is like a song of summer potential.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely up there.
I don't think it's the song of summer. I think it really definitely has potential.
You know what song I love, and I don't know if we've talked about this song before, is that Bieber, Diplo, Skrillex song, Where Are You Now?
We didn't talk about it on the podcast. But
is that in the You album?
The Jack You, yeah.
I like the one with the Luna George on.
Yeah, that song's great. The whole Jack You album is actually kind of great.
But I haven't heard the Bieber one.
It's rising up the chart, and I know there's going to be a music video soon, and Bieber's back.
Bieber's back, baby. It is kind of crazy that... I mean, he's doing this with Skrillex and Diplo, and then Selena Gomez is like doing a song with Zed now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess that is just kind of the pop climate. It's like, everyone's like, I guess we need to do an EDM song now.
Yeah. Zed. And you know, I want you to know, Selena Gomez has started stronger, but the Bieber song's creeping up higher now.
Yeah.
Beef.
The song is good.
Beef.
Well, anyways, if you guys have any Song of the Summer recommendations or thoughts on the stuff we listen to, tweet in, let us know. And next week we'll resume with just regular old boring new music.
Yeah, I want to talk next week. I already know what one of the songs I want to talk about next week, the new Iconopop song.
You're giving away some spoilers here. I'm going to hold you to that, too.
No, but that's like a teaser. It's like, ooh, what are our thoughts on the new?
What are they going to say about the new Iconopop?
How dismissive will Erica be?
What's one song?
We'll find out.
All right, we'll tune in next week for the exciting conclusion of what the Must Hear Music podcast thinks of Iconopop's new song.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening.